Well, Fred Phelps runs a crusade against homosexuality. He's the pastor at the Westboro Baptist Church, whose members protested outside the funeral of Lance Corporal Matthew Snyder, who was killed in Iraq. Now, today, the church faces Matthew Snyder's father in a free speech case before the Supreme Court. But long before this incident, Fred Phelps had risen to national notoriety. His antics date back more than half a century, and this is a gentleman with a really colored and interesting bio. Joining us to help us parse it is Mark Potok, director of the Intelligence Project at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, here's a little piece of Fred Phelps' bio that a lot of people are going to wake up and take notice to. Civil rights attorney? Explain that. How does one go from being a civil rights litigator to holding signs lambasting gay people and damning them to hell outside of a soldier's funeral?
Well, the truth is that he wasn't much of a civil rights litigator, although he did actually manage to win a local NAACP award back in the late 60s. You know, essentially, he filed a couple of cases, one having to do with a teacher who was discriminated against, another having to do with a group of black men whose car was searched illegally by police, and he won in settlements in both those cases. You know, the truth about Phelps, though, is that he, in his short career as a lawyer, filed some 400 suits, an enormous number of which were essentially completely frivolous.
Now he was,
who did things like file suits against Sears because a television his son ordered was not delivered on time. You know, ultimately he spent 6 years litigating this case. He filed a $50 million class action suit against Sears, and ultimately Sears gave them $126, which was $60 less than the TV they paid for but never received.
Right.
So this is a very litigious and angry man.
I have to say I was a little bit sympathetic when I saw a $50 million lawsuit for an undelivered TV. I've sometimes felt like filing $50 million lawsuits against a store or a department store that wronged me. But I mean, he made a practice of this kind of thing. Yeah, he made a practice of this kind of thing.
He absolutely did. You know, he was ultimately disbarred, first in the Kansas courts after he sued a court reporter who he accused of being late with a particular document. You know, ultimately, the Kansas Supreme Court said, you know, this was a guy who had no regard for the legal process and threw him off the bar in that state. 10 years later, for a very similar reason, he was thrown out of the federal courts as well and disbarred there.
Now, early on in his religious career, which sort of predated even his legal career, they had an interesting system of self-financing. It says in your bio of Fred Phelps that he had the kids, several of his 13 children, going door-to-door selling M&Ms and candy to sort of finance the Westboro Baptist Church.
That's true. Really, to finance the family. It wasn't so much the church at that point. You know, they started out living essentially hand-to-mouth. The kids, or many of the kids, some of the kids are estranged, most of them are not. But most of them have talked about being forced to sell candy by the family, by the father, who's described by many of them as a real tyrant for hours and hours a day. At another point, Phelps, when he was getting the church together early, he was a very contentious fellow and got into a fight with his followers, who all left, and Phelps at that point was reduced to selling vacuum cleaners door to door. You know, ultimately he went and got his law degree and started to do a lot better, but the kids tell really awful stories. There are 13 children are estranged.
Well, how is, you know, it's not free, it's not cheap to fly around the country protesting funerals. How is Fred Phelps financing his activities now? Is he still selling candy and vacuum cleaners?
Well, no, I'm quite sure that he is self-financed, or the Westboro Baptist Church congregation is self-financed, in the sense that most of the 10 kids who have remained loyal have become lawyers. His sort of principal follower, Margie Phelps, the one who really goes to these demonstrations these days, now her father is old and ailing, has a very responsible position with the Department of Corrections. So they make a lot of money. They have won a large number of lawsuits having to do with free speech issues and so on, won a number of awards along those lines. And so I think that is really where their money comes from. And
whatever else you say about Fred Phelps, you certainly have to call him an activist, both in the church, the media world, and the political world. 1992, in a run for the Senate, Fred Phelps got 31% of the ballot in the Democratic primary.
Yeah, well, that is astounding, and it's you know, the first and last time he's come that close to sort of doing well in the public eye. You know,
Senator Fred Phelps.
Point, he could. Well, he was also a friend early on with the Gore family, the Al Gore family. That's no longer true. You know, he really has no friends at this point. I mean, it's quite funny to notice that many of the kind of fundamentalist organizations that are very opposed to the so-called homosexual agenda and all of that really see Fred Phelps essentially as a kind of plant. There has actually been talk about whether this guy was real or whether he was created by somebody in order to embarrass the kind of Christian right.
So, okay, he may be a plant, but how do you then get from sort of, look, a lot of this bio that you're describing for us is a bit wacky, the vacuum cleaner salesman, the Senate run, the $50 million lawsuit. How did Fred Phelps get from there to media magnate and anti-gay crusader? What do you think is the critical moment that got him to where he is now?
He's obsessed with sex and has been for some 60 years now. In 1952, Fred Phelps was profiled in Time magazine for his anti-petting ministry. He had some kind of street ministry where he railed on against petting.
Jokes
with dirty twists to them.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay, you're not talking about
dogs.
Cats and dogs.
No, I'm not talking about cats and dogs. I'm talking about people making out in cars and that kind of thing. So he has gone on from this extremely early obsession with sex to gay sex. And, you know, as I've said many times, I don't believe there's a person in America who thinks more about gay sex than Fred Phelps. And, you know, who's to say what that means? But in any event, since the early 1990s, these people have made it a practice to picket funerals of AIDS victims, to picket things like the funerals of little girls who die in bus crashes, school bus crashes, you know, any and all people they can attack in order to get the kind of media attention they get today. I mean, you know, their style and their whole act really is about publicity stunts that essentially demand to be covered, that are very, very hard to ignore. It started with the infamous kind of God Hates Fags website, which obviously was an attention-getting thing. But it has gone on to the point where today they picket the funerals of military men like the man whose father is suing in this case.
Right. Well, Mark Potok, it seems like the irony for a media attention seeker like Fred Phelps here is that he didn't bring this lawsuit. The father of the dead soldier brought this lawsuit that will land them in the Supreme Court today. Mark Potok from the Southern Poverty Law Center, thank you.